cost, then BriskNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BriskNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BriskNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Haynesfield is a Grade 1 winner by Sprightstown. Sire Seek Again went on August 9 of the Grade 2 four-star David Saratoga and of the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby in his first start in this country. Sprightstown is the son of Sire's Gone West, and Haynesfield is a worthy representative of that superb sire line. Haynesfield won the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Blame, and that was Blame's only defeat during his Eclipse Award-winning year. Haynesfield won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced, won at distances from 6.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter, and he earned $1,319,481. Out of a stakes-winning mare from a family loaded with black type, Haynesfield has the whole package. He was a superior runner from a great sire line and a solid female family, and he's siring superb individuals. His weanlings averaged 8 times his stud fee in 2013, posting the highest profitability rate of any freshman stallion, and his yearlings have averaged $91,000 with a medium of $98,000 this year. Yesterday at Del Mar, the Sandy Blue Stakes was won by Izstan Ford, a 3-year-old filly by Izstan. Of course, Izstan and Haynesfield both stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brad C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and it's a beautiful day here at the Thoroughbred Center.
Not for long.
And what do we mean not for long?
Well, it's starting to cloud up out there. There's rain headed our way.
I can't do that. I have to mow this afternoon.
Well, okay.
Susie, how many works you end up with today?
About 70.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not too bad. Normal Saturday.
Yeah.
Normal Saturday. Well, what are we going to do today? I have Chauncey Morris with me. He's the director of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, taking over from David Schweitzer, who has been there since Moses was a pup. Chauncey came from Australia, as a matter of fact. Were you executive director, Chauncey, of the Thoroughbred Breeders down there?
CEO.
CEO. Okay. Yeah, all these titles throw me. Anyway,
you look too young.
You look too young to be a CEO.
Yeah. Right.
Steve Moody is going to be on. He is, of course, with the Saratoga Handicap of Sheet. He's going to give us the winner of the Alabama, which is today, and the Lake Placid Stakes. We've got Jackie's announcements. Michael Blowen is sitting over here stealing racing forms.
Yeah, he
gave me
August 11th.
It got to be August 11th.
Sunday edition was August 11th.
No, Monday.
The Monday. Well, throw it away.
I will.
All right.
Dang, he saw it.
Quit complaining, it was free. All right. And let's see. Of course, Jackie's announcements. We're going to take a look at a couple of the winners of the Alabama Stakes, which the first one was back in 1872 with a filly named Woodbine. And then maybe Merciless, we'll take a look at her. And Joe Palmer writes about the 1951 winner, Kiss Me Kate, daughter of Count Fleet. And we might read something out that he's writing from American Racehorses of 1951. What is that?
That was the Chevrolet.
I hope it isn't paid for. Anyway. Well, Chauncey, get closer to that microphone.
Yes, sir.
And welcome to Kentucky.
Thank you. Right. Good to be back.
Well, back. You're originally from Ashland, you tell me.
I am, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, was your family involved with racing up there?
No, not really. We were in the liquor business.
That's a good one.
That's a segue to racing.
My grandfather was a very big gambler on ponies, and his best friend, who was, I guess, my great uncle, in those days would have been the biggest bookie up in New York, but it got into a bit of trouble. But yeah,
we did.
What a stellar background! Yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to fit it right in around here.
Yeah. Bootleggers and gamblers, it's a Kentucky tradition.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, you just got back from Australia, and tell us what you were doing down there.
So I was running two companies, Thoroughbred Breeders Australia Limited, which is sort of like it's TOBA. It's representing 8,000 breeders all over Australia and every state, taking care of public policy issues. And also, most importantly, Australia has been ground zero against the fight to introduce artificial insemination into the thoroughbred. There's a former bookmaker down there who challenged the rules of racing and the natural cover rules of both the Australian Racing Board and the Australian Stud Book, and TBA became a respondent to the case. Spent quite a bit of money, have prevailed on the first two rounds to the full federal court, which would be our Court of Appeals, and presently Mr. McHugh, Bruce McHugh, the former bookmaker, he's trying to seek leave to go to the High Court, the Supreme Court of Australia, but optimistic still that the industry's position will prevail, and it took up a great deal of my time. On the other side, there was a second company, is a subsidiary called Ozhorse Marketing Proprietary Limited. Its mission is to promote and market the Australian thoroughbred domestically and internationally.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what basically you're going to be doing here, although I know David spent a lot of time in Frankfurt.
He did.
Yes.
And look, that's the KTA, really, it exists to protect and promote the industry and to try to keep our position as the thoroughbred capital of the world. And obviously, oftentimes that involves political relationships and how our industry is to be regulated. So yes, Frankfurt and our representation, both state and nationally and locally, on land use issues to medication policy to everything in between, tax issues are vital to keeping our position as the thoroughbred capital in the world.
Now, you're also closely affiliated with Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. Is that right, the KTA?
Yeah, KTA is. That's right. But, yeah. I mean, but you know, the at the end of the day, there are Kentucky-specific issues. The breeding center in the United States, and moreover, the premier tracks and sort of the regional tracks that we have here, they're responsible for a huge percentage of the handle in the United States, yeah. Parimutuelly. So Kentucky does tend to have its own issues, not necessarily national issues that have to be advocated for, and it was really the reason for the creation of KTOB and then KTOA, right. KTA rather, as the second horseman's group.
Right, exactly. Well, let's get you out of Ashland. Where did you go from there? You know, I mean, you do...
I went to school in Louisville and
University of Louisville?
Yes, sir.
What would you major?
Political science. One of the things...
Well, that kind of fits in now.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of the things that always sort of gets sussed out in these is... Yeah, my mother was from Ecuador, South America. She died actually last year, but we got to travel quite a bit when I was younger in Latin America, and we spent a lot of time both there and in New York when I was growing up. Subsequently, when I was in college, I did study abroad for a few years and did some internships both in Mexico and South America. Kentucky at that time, it had an agricultural and commercial trade office, the Commonwealth of Kentucky did, in Guadalajara, Mexico, and I performed an internship there. Really, the reason was to be close to my girlfriend who I'd met at U of L, who's now my wife.
Oh, okay.
For 10 years.
Cleared that up real quick.
Yeah.
That's how I really got my introduction to state politics, because when I came back, I was given a number of a gentleman's name's Gene Royalty. I used to be a former economic development secretary here in Kentucky and was responsible post-Toyota for really that huge Japanese industrial investment mm-hmm. that came here in Kentucky on the wake of the construction of the Georgetown plant, which we're very close to. And he said, you know, I need somebody to speak Spanish. If you want a job during college, you got it. So that's how I started my entree in Frankfurt. I started working at the Kentucky Department of Ag, then the governor's office.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which governor?
Paul Patton.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah. And then after that? I'm trying to get you tied to the horse business.
Yeah, no, fair point.
So I'm moving that way.
When I was at the Department of Ag, I noticed that there was a racetrack that had been closed in Mexico called the Hipódromo de las Américas. Been closed for 5 years because of a peso devaluation, but things were getting better down there because of NAFTA. You remember there was a big bailout of the Mexican peso many years ago, the Brady Bonds.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
I don't. But you.
Well, one of the stipulations that the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the U.S. Treasury had put on the bailout was they couldn't float big bond issues that would be sort of nationalizing industries. But the Mexican government, they took a chance on this particular project, and I knew obviously that they were something that they were having to risk, that if they were risking this bonding issue, that there must be something there. And I said, look, there might be an opportunity here to sell some Kentucky horses. And my first call was to David Schweitzer.
Okay.
Gene Royalty, who is my mentor in Frankfurt, he said, ring this guy in Kentucky. He's sort of our entree to everything thoroughbred. Mm-hmm. And I rang David, and he was trying to avoid me, actually. And so I just kept
probably
ringing.
Is now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, I know he's on the golf course, but go ahead.
Ringing and pestering him, and finally, you know, he made lots of excuses. I'm a lobbyist, can't come, because what we wanted to do was come to a visit that would eventually lead to a trade mission led by Governor Patton, which did kick off in 2001, and it was very successful, and we sold a bunch of horses down there. Mm-hmm. So, no, sorry, 2000. That was in 2000. And so got to know David, got to know Peter Timney from the University of Kentucky, Tom Thornberry from Keeneland, who was mm-hmm. then a bloodstock agent, his brother Jeff, Lee Hall, a couple people, and just, you know, saw that what a lot of people I think in Frankfurt don't see and appreciate it is this was a really interesting and huge and vital industry to the economic tapestry of the Commonwealth. And I wanted to help at first from within government, but then I got offered a job to promote on a much larger scale what we were doing in Mexico globally by David and the folks from Keeneland.
Ah, so you went to work with Keeneland.
I went to work first at the KTOB on a position that Keeneland and actually Fasig Tipton the first year had put the money together for what became the Emerging Markets Program.
Mm-hmm.
It's established in November of 2002. And it was really trying to look for value, exploit some markets for international markets and on places where we'd never really sold horses before. Since then, there's a consistent basket of 25 racing countries that just looking at the Keeneland sales results, Kentucky breeders have sold $508 million to, mm-hmm. you know, to now. So it was wildly successful and spent nearly 4 years at KTOB, then Keeneland brought me over in 2005, was part of the sales staff there, doing those types of projects, sort of greater global policy, and then also a new owners program.
Ah, very good. Got to take a break. I'll get right back with you.
Sure.
Catch up and pay some bills here. Well, the first crop yearlings by Trap Shots offered at the Saratoga sale sold for $400,000, $300,000, $170,000, $120,000. Then a few days later, two were sold at Saratoga's preferred sale of New York breads, and they went for $160,000 and $140,000. So far in 2014, eight were offered, all eight sold. All eight sold for more than $100,000, and the average was $194,375. Easy to see why. Trap Shot is hiring superb individuals that look and act like runners. Take a look at the Trap Shot yearlings at the upcoming sales, and you'll see what we mean. Of course, it doesn't hurt that Trap Shot is a high-class graded stakes winner by Tappet, the nation's leading sire and the son of the famed Claiborne Farm stallion Pulpit, son of AP Indy. All that is damn is the hard-hitting race mare Shopping by Private Account. She produced four stakes winners, including Trap Shot, Miss Shop, a grade one winner of over $1,126,000, and Shop Again, the dam of grade one stakes winner Power Broker. Trap Shot, a grade two stakes winner and grade one placed earner of some of over $700,000, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquires to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Yeah, it's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. We moved to Bourbon County. Friends recommended the Hopewell Company and the First Presbyterian Church. I got to throw that in. That was 26 at least years ago, and they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell, not the church. Anyway, Hopewell has...
That church gave up on us.
Yeah, right. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables. They cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability. And they've been right there whenever we needed them, which was about a year and a half ago we got struck by lightning. Every wire in the house was singed black. And they were over there that afternoon, did a bunch of paper, blah, blah, blah. Brought in the adjuster the next day, and they were working on it on day two. They knew who to call to fix it because people want to work for them for that reason, so that you can get right taken care of as soon as possible. So it's an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance company. So they can shop around to get the best coverage and the most competitive prices from really good insurers who do not fight you. Contact the Hopewell Company. They're prepared to provide you no cost, no obligation review and comparison of what you've got now in the way of insurance. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347 or 254-2431. You get great service. I guarantee it.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 80 years, aren't they? Mr. James Clay Ward founded the business back in 1931. That was the year 20 grand won the Derby. Also won the Belmont that day. Mate won the Preakness. Anyway, I digress. Of course, Mr. James Clay Ward is gone now, but the tradition he's established there of hard work, service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business is still carried on by my friends Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. So if you do business with people who want to do business, people who know what they're doing, and people you can trust, people who do the best job for you, I certainly do suggest that you call the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris. Number over there is 859-987-1861. 1861, easy to remember. That's the year the Civil War started. I remember it well. The Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek, also over in Bourbon County, and their tradition is for raising runners and selling top-quality runners at the major sales. The list of high-quality stakes winners that they have raised or sold includes six champions, and that list just keeps right on growing. So give them a call if you're going to sell at public auction or if you need a wonderful place to board your horse. And the number over there is 859-987-7443, and the website is IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's two firms that you should know something about if you're in the horse business. All right, well, I'm talking to Chauncey Morris, who is now the man over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, the KTA, and placing David Schweitzer. David, a good friend of mine, is right now, I know where he is. He never would listen to the show because he always had a 10 o'clock tea time. I hope you don't have a 10 o'clock tea time.
I'm an awful golfer. I just gave it up. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Welcome to the club. Anyway, David's a great guy, as you no doubt know.
Yes, I do.
And it did a wonderful job, and I'm sure you're going to do it too. Now, They lured you down to Australia. How did that happen and how long ago?
Yeah, it happened 3 years ago. I was working at Keeneland, and one of the great things about Keeneland is while I was there, they got to send me around to 40 different countries around the world to try to sell horses. But specifically, we were working on a new owners program, and that was domestically. And I got to know a gentleman, his name's Michael Corbett, who's now the CEO of Citigroup, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll work.
Yeah, Citibank, Citigroup. And we brought him to – he hosted some dinners for us, and we brought him to the Belmont Steaks, and he invited us to his house, Mark Morandi and myself, after the races. And we're sitting there overlooking Central Park, and he looked at me and said, you know, you ought to have – if you ever have the opportunity for your company or otherwise to live overseas while your kids are young, jump at it. And he said, I asked why. He said, well, it'll just give them a fantastic opportunity. And so I don't know if you have kids, but I've come to appreciate that once you have them, they're the most important thing in your life. And really, you know.
How many do you have?
Two daughters, yeah.
Okay.
One that was born here in Kentucky and one that was born here down there in Australia. But we want to provide them as rich an experience as they possibly could. And had this offer in Australia, and you know, a certain generation of Americans have always been enthralled with Europe. But I think any racing people that have been down to Australia, they've been struck on just how healthy the industry is.
Mm-hmm.
The racing is really, it's incredible. And moreover, it occupies such a prime position in their popular culture. You know, that Melbourne Cup really is the race that stops the nation. And but then beyond that, it's not only taxi drivers, it's anybody have bits and bobs of horses. And you don't ever have to buy a racing form. You just pick up the Friday newspaper and it's there, or the Wednesday newspaper, and in either the two dailies on whatever city that you happen to be in. It's that big, yeah, and any pub that you're in, you can have a bet on the races in their pools. So I saw that the first time in 2007, and then in 2008, we sold a bunch of horses down there, broodmares. And my best friend, Vin Cox, who's Keeneland's rep down there, I had an opportunity to work closely with him. He's now the managing director of a sales company down there called Magic Millions, so we jumped at it. And it was really enjoyable. I mean, the quality of life down there is just incredible. As I said, I mean, you can't say you can't
talking man to moving.
Yeah,
I know.
You can't stop talking really about the sort of the quality and the breadth of the racing, and it shows itself out on what the values of their stallions are, what the sales prices are. They didn't really have a recession post. They didn't have a recession post 2008. Everything really stayed more or less stable down there. And it was the place to be, and thought that I could gain a bit of knowledge there.
Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah.
You know, two of my all-time favorite horses were, one of them was Burnborough, and I had opportunity to see him when he was at stud out at Spencer.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got into breeding a little bit, Jack and I used to breed to race. I used to breed the Pago Pago.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Over Clayburn
Golden
Farm.
Slipper winner. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So a couple of Australian breeds right there. In fact, I guess Burnborough is one of the all-time greats. One of the two. He and Farlap, aren't they kind of considered?
Well, Farlap is actually he was foaled in New Zealand.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
oh,
he campaigned in Australia, but he was a Kiwi horse.
So Burnborough is now number one in Australia. I loved the horse. Bought a yearling by him once.
Is that right?
Yeah, little filly. And I think I bought it for $1,100.
Woo.
Turned around, walked out of the sales ring. Somebody offered me $1,500 for it, and I sold it. So I never even got to lay a hand on it.
You got a profit, though.
Yeah, right. Back at that time, that was a lot of money to me, you know, and still is as far as that goes.
Well, I've got some questions.
Well, hurry up, because he has to go here pretty quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
What South American countries did you deal with? You said Mexico first.
Oh, gosh. Anywhere where there was racing. Yeah, very much so. I mean, a lot of people, you know, Argentina, their racing is, their racing would be the biggest in South America. Always challenged because of their national economy. It's built on commodities, so it usually goes through these peaks and valleys cycles, and right now it's in one of its valleys. But Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Venezuela, Peru. Yeah, Brazil, of course. But Brazil, racing for whatever reason, it's not as popular as some of the other countries.
Yeah, Chile's, right? Chile. There have been a lot of good horses come up from Chile.
There have, yeah.
A lot of good ones. Going way back. I mean, back in the 40s, they were imported horses up here that, you know, Rico Monte and Talon and horses like that.
Did they ever send mares up here to breed on this time or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, one of the things that one of the benefits that's hard to quantify from the emerging markets program is you're starting to see a lot of inward investment and new owners of farms actually mm-hmm. here from all sort of these weird places, Chile
that's
and
great.
Brazil and Azerbaijan and other places, which is good because they obviously want to come and be part of the commercial.
And get their money out of some places sometimes.
Well, yeah, not necessarily. I mean, these are all the people that we're talking about are very, very savvy right. sort of international business people. And oftentimes they're connected to publicly traded companies. And because of, of banking laws post September 11th, you really have to sort of keep your money clean and transparent anywhere that you're doing business in the developed world. So, you know, those are the kind of folks that we have. This isn't like the whole concept of robber barons hiding their money. These are folks that are playing by the rules, and we're lucky to have them.
Mm-hmm. How did you compare the, say, Argentine racing and so forth, or South American racing to Australia's? Is it big time like that down there too?
In which way?
As far as nationally speaking, you know.
Just as far as the quality of racing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, you've seen Australian horses rank consecutively in the IFHA World Best mm-hmm. Thoroughbred Horses mm-hmm. ratings, along with the best of Kentucky and the best in UK, Ireland, and France. So mm-hmm. they're really one of the consistently the heavyweights, and there's lots of reasons for that. It's because the racing is very competitive, and there's a lot of money, and they go out and prove sort of their mettle to the world, which is probably a benefit that I'd say the South American horses haven't necessarily had. I mean, you have onesies, twosies sort of things, but they don't really have as many foreign runners come into South America and run. I mean, the last time would have been Mandela bringing a horse down there, and that was 15 years ago sort of thing. But you have this Australia is in that global globe-trotting cycle of places in UK, Ireland, United States, the Breeders' Cups of the world, and the Japan Cups and the Hong Kong international races, and they're able to sort of prove their mettle alongside, obviously, American horses, which do pretty well still.
And your stay, I'm going to ask you a couple things. And
go ahead. No, take your time. It's all right.
All right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I hope I'm not boring anyone.
No, you're not boring anyone. While you were down there, what was the best horse you saw raced in Australia?
In your opinion? That's an easy one. Piero, it's a horse that won the 2-year-old Triple Crown and the Golden Slipper 2 years back.
Okay.
Yeah. Really special horse.
Now, is he still running or is he at stud?
No, he's at stud. He was syndicated for $40 million, which is
a lot of bucks.
It's the highest anything's been syndicated for in a long time anywhere. So,
okay, are people from here shipping down there to breed to him?
There probably will be, actually. And one of the things that lured me back, I don't want to talk about Australia too much because I'd like to talk about how good American horses are, but one of the things that I've noticed is in the past 10 years, there has been this growth of the global racehorse owner, that person that wants the globe-trotting horse that's going to go to Royal Ascot and Breeders' Cup in Japan and Hong Kong and during the Spring Racing Carnival in Australia. And American and the Dubai Racing Carnival, obviously. Americans, for whatever reason, we've been fairly parochial on that. It's not that we don't have great horses. We do. But the racehorse owners, for some reason, they just haven't been as willing as their counterparts in the rest of the world to do these things. Probably in the last, I'd say, 4 years, that started to change. You know, right now we're on the eve of Wesley Ward, who's going to bring Hootenanny over to Premorny because he's skipping the York meeting and did well at Royal Ascot. And, you know, he had no name ever. And Grand Motion won with Animal Kingdom. I was there. I was sitting next to Craig Vanderhoff, actually, whenever, you know, Animal Kingdom won in Dubai. And I hope that that changes because, you know,
Shirley Ramsey.
Yeah, Ken Ramsey's racing over there now.
No question, absolutely. He's been a pioneer, and hats off to him. We should all be very grateful for Ken sort of having a flutter, even when he doesn't think that he's going to win. But he's obviously gone to take.
Well, he thinks
American
he's going to win.
Yeah, no, well,
and he has more fun doing it than anybody.
That's really the point. Yeah, but you know, one of the things from my Osworth hat that I was able to do is I encouraged some of our countrymen to come down and have a look around in Australia, and they've invested. And they have horses in training down there. People like Barbara Banky and you know, B. Wayne Hughes and John Kelly from Rancho Santa Fe.
Does B. Wayne Hughes have horses in Australia?
He does. He does. He,
I didn't
he came
know
and he had a mare that he bred on Southern Hemisphere time and shipped down to sell the progeny, but he came at to the Easter sale and bought a few yearlings. Barbara did the same. Miss Banky did the same thing. And then during a very big dispersal down there in June, the gentleman who was the breeder of Redoute's Choice, if you've ever heard of that stallion, and horses like Lincoln Rupee and others, he had a dispersal of all his mares and quite a bit of his racing stock and yearlings. And we had a few Americans come down and buy some of those. Now, ultimately, the ultimate goal is bringing those horses back here. You know, very similar to the likes of Bull Hancock steaming across to buy Nasrullah a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is how American breeders, they created some of the best thoroughbreds in the world. But we can't lose the fact that American stallions, you know, a lot of people think that the trade is gone or what have you, but American stallions have been the benchmark of North American stallions, because I'd throw Northern Dancer in there as well, have been the benchmark of and breed shapers in places like Australia, Japan, Great Britain, Galileo, son of Southern Halo in Argentina, breed shaper, Sunday Silence in Japan, Dane Hill, which a lot of people, you know, yes, he Jedmont horse, campaigned in Europe, but he was foaled here. You know, he's a Kentucky bred horse, and this trade is vital, both the coming in and the going out to sort of make and create what is the modern thoroughbred.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of farmbreds racing today at Arlington Park, as far as that goes.
There are. That's right.
Great racing up there today.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of people don't ship here to there because it's, not that it's expensive. It's a little bit dangerous, but there's always a lot of racing for a lot of money around in the United States.
There is. There is a depth to the prize money here still on – if you're in the elite company, or if you're a New York bred,
well, they're getting better.
You're able to race for a lot of money still here. That's true. But ultimately, there's a lot of things that really drive people to own horses, and cash and checks isn't always the only one.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, you mentioned Mr.
Ramsey. For
the Ramsey.
Lower regular people, it is, but not for the Ramseys and the.
Well, no, but I mean, there's a lot of people that are game, and you know, this ultimately at the end of the day, it is a sport. It's about beating the other guy. So yeah. Hopefully, there's a lot or a gal. So hopefully, there's a lot more American guys and gals that take up the mantle mm-hmm. and want to beat the hell out of the rest of the world.
I got to catch up here. All right. Well, Miz and Mass is the sire of 6 grade 1 winners. The most recent is Literus, a grade 1 winner in South America earlier this year, now in training in California. He was preceded by Flotilla, the co-champion 2-year-old filly of her year in France, winner of the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf of last year's classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas of over $1,066,000 and placed in 2 more group stakes this year. Of Ms. Direction, winner of 9 stakes, twice winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, beaten Colts, and she'd earned over $1,719,000. Mass Track won the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup and over $928,000. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and over $548,000. Midships, winner of the Grade 1 Charles Whittingham Memorial and over $528,000. The most recent stakes winner by Miz and Mass is Flimby, a listed stakes winner in France and winner August 2, the $100,000 Fazy Tiffin De La Rue stakes at Saratoga. Never out of the money in 10 starts with 5 wins. Flimby has earned over $221,000, and her impressive De La Rue's win is an indication that probably greater things to come. The bottom line, take a good look at the Miz and Mass yearlings at the upcoming sales because he sires runners. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries are Gary O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for something like 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners to ever step on a racetrack and many of the best pony club ponies have been entrusted to their care. By golly, we used to go to pony club when the kids were little, and here would come this nice big Sally Van, and out would walk this little 13-2 pony dressed to the nines with every kind of protective gear in the world coming down to go to pony club. That's okay. Sally Vans has learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious. Their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top condition. And they are because they build their own, and they service, too. If you have a diesel truck or any kind of a rig, they'll fix it for you and keep it going. But the most important factor of all this is the experience and ability of the person behind the wheel. The drivers at Sally Van Service are not only experienced drivers, they're experienced horsemen. That's the winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse across the county or across the country. And I noticed Sally Vans took the United States Equestrian Federation Eventing High Performance Team to the airport. They're shipping them. I guess they're going to WEG. They're going to Europe anyway. So when you load your horse, that's who they sent them on. And load your horse onto a Sally Van. The guy behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. They wouldn't have it any other way. That's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. 255-9640.
Well, Super Saver is the nation's number one ranked freshman sire. He is the sire in his first crop of I Spin It. Winner August 10 of the Grade 2 $200,000 Saratoga Special. Won his first start at Belmont on July the 2nd. Bred by Dixiana and sold at the Fazy Tipton Florida sale for $600,000. I Spent It defeated a top field. He's undefeated and when he won the Saratoga Special. Hashtag Bourbon, winner August 2 of the $100,000 Mountaineer Juvenile Stakes. That was just his second career start. Market Conduct, winner of his first start in a maiden special at Saratoga 2 by 2.5 lengths on the same day that I Spent It won the Grade 2 Saratoga Special. Save Rock and Roll, winner of a first start in a maiden special at Monmouth Park on August 2, won by 5. High Dollar Woman, winner July 28 of her second start in a maiden special at Saratoga. Competitive Edge, winner of his first start of a maiden special at Saratoga by 10 lengths on July 26, and he goes today in a Grade 1 hopeful. Classic winner Super Saver. Of course, he won the Kentucky Derby, is the nation's leading freshman sire. It's worth seeing twice. Pioneer of the Nile is the nation's number one ranked second sire, and 4 of the nation's top 25 leading active sire standing Windstar Farm. For more on the Windstar Stands, get in touch with Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Eddie, are we on?
You guys? The remaining question, what do you think is the most important thing you want to do out here?
Keep Kentucky the thoroughbred capital of the world.
All right. How are you going to do that? Got any plans?
Well, we'll have to sit down with our constituents, breeders, and find out what the goals are. But, I mean, you know, everybody said that David has done a fantastic job, and that's definitely true. There's a lot that happens, if it's politics or marketing, or it doesn't matter what it is, behind the scenes, because we've got to have a bit of good news, obviously. And the bad news... Bad news shouldn't be bad, because we should all find a way to sort of try to work together and come up with solutions on things that are challenges to the industry. I wouldn't say that they're mistakes or anything, or problems or anything like that. So just happy to be here and have a look at the lay of the land. I've been gone for a while, so going to endeavor to do that.
Are you all settled in here now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And the kids in school, both of them?
One. The other one's two. So.
Oh, the one's just two. Oh, well.
Terrorist.
She is, yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
Where'd you meet your wife?
In university, in Louisville.
Oh, in Louisville. Yeah, okay, she well, she married a good old Kentucky gal.
There
then.
You go.
Even she is from Louisville.
No, she's from Mexico.
She's
oh,
from
is
Mexico.
She really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. A Kentucky-Mexico girl.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Kentucky now.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to let you go.
Thank you, sir.
And I know you're going to, who are you going to meet? Joe Seitz?
Yeah. And his kids, yeah.
Okay.
We are. Going to barbecue. All right.
I've met Joe, but his dad is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the older generation.
Hard to believe.
So,
no, thank you, folks.
No.
Well, anytime. Come
yeah,
back.
Come on
you
back anytime.
You want to.
Sure.
Yeah. Anytime that you've got something that you want to get out or something like that for the Kentucky for Tober or KTA, just let us know, Chauncey, and just come on by.
All right. Thanks.
It's nice meeting you, my friend. Take care of yourself. All right. Michael Blowen said over, and he's already read two racing forms.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of handicapping done. And that was very interesting.
Yeah, he's very articulate.
Ken, yeah, setting a terrible standard for this program. Ken Ramsey, I love Ken Ramsey, and he's having such a ball up in Saratoga, winning races, and we had this big fundraiser last Saturday at the week ago today at Ann's Washington Inn up there for a guy named Sonny Taylor, who's been working for NYRA for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken was going around the party with the donation bucket for old friends, just telling people to open up their wallets and let's get going.
What a good guy.
You should have told him that, said, Ken. Matching funds.
Yeah, well, Ken gave us $10,000. I have no complaints in that department, believe
Again?
Me.
He gave you some when that day Rosie was out there?
No, it's the first 10. I look at that as the first 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, if you're listening, he's putting a touch on you again.
He's all over the place today. He's got, you know, he's got all these horses running up at Arlington Park. He's got...
I'm sure,
just unbelievable. He's got the, you know, Arlington Million. You know, he's all over the place. I think he's got one in the Sword Dancer tomorrow at Saratoga. Hey, here's a little trivia question for our listening audience. Which horse won both the Arlington Million and the Sword Dancer and still holds the one horse and still holds a track record for both races?
Oh, is it somebody you got?
I don't know.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. TikTok.
he was but TikTok was by Double J.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Yeah.
And that's not the answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a Watt.
Oh,
it still
okay.
Is
wow.
A Watt. Yeah.
One of yours.
Ran into David Donk up there. He trained a Watt and brought him one of Rick Capone's pictures of a Watt. So that was nice. It was great up there. People were so nice and. It went really, really well, and I made enough money betting to pay for the whole vacation.
Ah, that's great.
Wonderful.
My friend Charlie, that's how I knew that was last Monday's form or something, because Miss Frost was in there. Miss Frost went off at 9-1, a Dogwood horse that my friend Charlie owns part of, and Miss Frost was won the race, won the little stakes race up there, really nice, and at 9-1, and I had her wheeled in the double, and for $2, the double came back $564.
Yay.
Wow.
That'll buy you some gas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then on the way back, I stopped over at River Downs because, or Belterra Park, and they're doing they're going to do a special fundraiser for us on Labor Day.
Oh, wow. So I wanted wonderful. To leave. I'd love to go.
You got to go. It's beautiful up there. And John Engelhardt, I was leaving him one of Rick Capone's books about old friends, and while I was waiting, I handed Diane a $20 bill, and she put it in a slot machine. She hit a jackpot for nearly $2,000. I mean, it was wild. The gambling was fabulous, too.
That's funny. Oh, that
she is almost funny. Had a heart attack. In fact, she's sick today, and I think it made her sick. I think she's allergic to winning money.
That's funny. Maybe it just doesn't come that often.
Yeah.
I'm sure you hit her up a part of it.
She was very generous.
Right.
We share. When I win money at the races, I give her some, and now she gave me some of this. It works out really well because it's the key to a success. I'm probably the only guy in the world where my wife says to me every Sunday, well, are you going to go to the track today? She wants to get me out of the house and go to the track.
Yeah.
Well, that's a twofer.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
A good one. I love that.
So
well,
she knows.
Who else famous did you see? Famous people?
Everybody.
Well, come on.
Barrett Jones was up there. We had a great time. He introduced me to Mr. Bustock, and Barrett had some horses running. He had some horses selling. A lot of the trainers. I had a great talk with Nick Zito. I don't think he'd be mad if I tell you this story. But I talked to Nick Zito, and he had a horse. He had a horse that Rosie rode, who was like double digits. And just before they got to the finish line, poor Rosie was trying to get him to change leads, and she dropped her stirrup and lost by a half a head.
Oh my!
And the horse is owned by Hank Steinbrenner, who owns the Yankees. And he said, you know, Mr. Steinberry, he came over to me, old Hank came over to me and gave me a big hug. He said, did you see that race? That was a great race. He was so excited. And then he said, you know, I used to go to bed every night with a headache and a stomach ache. And I could never figure out why. And then Mr. LaPenta fired me, and all of a sudden, I had no headaches and no stomach pain. And I saw, he said, you know, I've just got, he says, the horses I have now aren't as good as the horses I had before, but I've got great people, and it is fun again. I feel young again. I'm just having a ball, and every night I can sleep, and it's just working out just really, really great.
Good for
him. And so, you know, and people came up to me and talked about their horses. They had a special jockeys day there where they must have had 25 jockeys all signing stuff. So I had a huge poster with all the old friends' horses on it, and I brought it through the line, and they all signed it, all arguing about, you know, you cut me off. That's why you won on this horse. It was really funny. But the next day, the trainers did it.
So really? Like, so you've got trainers. Those at home?
Yeah. So they all signed next to the horse. Well, Billy Turner, of course, who trained Seattle Slough, we didn't have any horses that he trained, but he signed next to AP Slough. So that's close enough. Yeah. And Ramon Dominguez, he wrote a bunch of them, and so he signed by everyone he wrote.
Oh, wow.
And McCarran and Georgie Velasquez and Manny Caza and Jacinto Vasquez and Angel Cordero.
That's
it was
fun.
Quite a lineup, and it was.
Now, what are you
really
going to do with those things? They're priceless.
We're probably going to auction off at one of our fundraisers.
You know what you should do? I mean, not tell you what.
Yeah, please.
But you ought to make copies. If they're huge, shrink them down and make copies. So many copies, one of 20 or something, and sell those too.
That's a good idea.
Because it's
kind
of
really,
fun.
That's a really, really good idea. But they raise money for the permanently disabled jockeys fund and.
Yeah,
and
you know, they
fun.
Got a thing coming up here, too. The racetrack chaplaincy is doing a golf tournament for the permanently disabled jockeys.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's, very nice. Well,
were there any movie stars or, you know, the People magazine kind of scum?
No, but the trainers were fabulous. Frank Alexander, who's retired now, but he trained Willenda. Said he was the toughest horse he ever tried to train. He really didn't like him.
Really?
Yeah. And I
was
said, Frank, he won the – well, they used that word, but I don't think he was mean. He's not mean now. He's just smart, and he's aggressive, and he knows who he is.
Yeah.
He treats you like, you know, he's a snob. I can't help it. He's, you know, he's a great son of Gulch. He won the Super Derby.
Yeah.
Really, really nice, really, really successful racehorse. Nice. I wouldn't use the word nice. Really successful racehorse. And he told this story about how he was really, really tough. And one morning they were out, he was out working out, and he dumped the rider and headed back to the barn. But instead of going to his barn, he took a right and went into Mike Freeman's barn and was trying to mount one of the mares that was being ridden, walked around the shed row.
Right, right. His nose was working.
So you get great stories when you go up there to Saratoga, and people seem very relaxed, and people are having fun. And
looked like they had great crowds. We watched them.
Great crowds, and for some reason, the weather when we went there was absolutely perfect. I think the day after we left, it rained like 4 inches, but the weather was perfect. This is another great thing. You know, we had that fundraiser for Sonny Taylor, the placing judge at Saratoga, and it was a great event, and everybody up there was so generous that we had 350, 400 people at this party.
Right.
It didn't charge anything, just accepted donations, and Rick was there to sign his book, and that was really a lot of fun. But the other thing that was so great is that Joe Boken, who runs the Anne's Washington Inn, he got a couple of local restaurants to donate all the food.
Wow.
And then he donated all the liquor. Except for the beer. We had to pay for the beer.
Sounds like you.
So our whole expenses, we raised almost $8,000, and I think our whole expenses were $110.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That's
so
nice.
That was really cool. Well, I think Urzel's probably got to do another ad now.
You think? He's over there waving his arms and really, jumping up and down in the air, and I think he means something.
He's getting a little squishy in the gait.
And we'll start stall walking here in a minute. Albertus Maximus is a multiple grade one winner of over 1,328,000. He was a superior runner by any measure, taking the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the grade one Don Handicap. Of course, that's a Gulfstream. Also set a new track record at Del Mar the day he won the Windy Sands Handicap. Captured two top allowance tests at Hollywood Park, broke his maiden at San Anita, placed in three graded stakes, including the grade one Goodwood. Albertus Maximus is one of three millionaires and six grade one stakes winners by his sire. The most recent, Moonshine Mullen, winner of the 2014 renewal of the grade one Stephen Foster at Churchill. His dam, Chase the Wild Wind, is a half-sister to a champion out of the grade one winner, Race the Wild Wind. It's a superb female family. The first foals by Albertus Maximus are yearlings. Watch them at the upcoming sales. And for more on the stallions at Chadwell Farm, get in touch with stallion manager Ken Barnes. Give him a call at 859-224-4585. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Hey, Michael, how do you like my cap? Have you noticed
that? Oh, that's fabulous.
Rooster Brew.
Rooster Brewing.
Yeah, we went over there. What was that, Thursday? Friday? Thursday.
You must have had a good time. You can't even remember what day it was.
Oh, they said they served him a beer that was black.
I tell you what, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so dark, it was black.
Yeah.
And they served it in a... Wasn't like a mug.
Like a snifting glass.
Yeah.
Like a brandy glass.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow, you must have had this beer.
Well, I've been to beer places.
Okay.
Oh,
that serve exotic
brews. No kidding.
Well, I don't know what the alcohol content was, but it was pretty potent.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
pretty high.
More than old Urzel was used to.
Urzel's chewing the Tums for a few days.
I couldn't find my behind for both hands there for a while. Jeez. But anyway, but it was fun. Went over there with... with Matt Howard, he led me astray, and
it's a great place.
Bud
Ralph
from,
has
Bud
a great
from
place.
Over there, and Taylor Force just came back from Afghanistan. He was a West Point grad going to law school. Anyway, he was a good friend. It's the people that own. Well, he's related to the people that own a Gentry Farm over here, so he's. Making
nice
up his
guy.
Mind what he's a nice guy. Anyway, so that's a wonderful place.
It's
a fun place to go. You've been in there.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous place.
I know. Yeah, it's
picked up the nightlife in Paris.
Oh,
single-handedly.
To the chagrin of some of the other.
I'm sure.
And Ralph Quillen is talking about putting a restaurant in upstairs.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
That would be great.
That he's thinking about doing that, you know. And you know, Ralph, if he... thinks about it, it usually gets done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it gets done well.
Yeah.
It's not so...
It's a beautiful place. It really is. It's well designed, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really nice. It's very comfortable, very
relaxing.
They
had a thing last night. They get trucks to come in and set up in the back of the Rooster Brew.
Yeah. So, anyway. Well, it's a fun place to go. And, of course, Quill and Tack and Leather is that's Ralph's main business there. In Paris, Kentucky.
And did you tell me he has a new catalog?
New catalog just came out, and they've upped. I used to plug that they ship close to, you know, shipped over 20,000 halters a year now. I mean, 17,000. Now it's up to 20.
Ah, there we go. It's going the right direction.
Business is good. See, it pays to advertise on this show.
It certainly does. Especially when you read the translations, it goes to 85 different countries. We can get Chauncey to translate it for us.
Well, we need his help. Nice guy, wasn't he?
Very nice.
Fun interview with him and learned a lot. And anyway, but that's a great tack shop over there.
Now, it's a little early for Christmas, but they've got new layered leather belts.
Yeah, they're great.
It's a layer, and then the buckle part is overlaid on that, and you can get different colors.
Yeah.
Green, and it's really nifty. They can make about anything.
Let me tell you how to find it. If you're going into Paris in the Lexington area, go to the third stoplight and look on your left, Quillen Leather and Tack. It's a fun place to go in, nice people there, and so stop by and see them. Tell Ralph that Ursel sent you. Well, August 9 at Del Mar, a two-year-old colt from the first crop by Munnings became a hot topic after taking a maiden special by over 7 lengths. Broke in front and stayed there. Fractions of 22-2, 45, 109-1, 115-3, going 6.5 furlongs. Bred by the partnership of Lavin Bloodstock, Bernie Sams, and W.S. Ferris Jr., was sold as a two-year-old in training sale for $125,000. Munnings is the sire of 11 first-crop two-year-olds to win a place, all 11 in their first or second starts, and they're doing it at the major tracks, Del Mar, Woodbine, Arlington, Gulfstream, Monmouth, Keeneland, and in Great Britain, where Natural Order won first time out in a maiden special at Doncaster before he ran fourth in the Group 2 stakes. That was at Newmarket. Munnings won a place in 9 graded stakes, 6 grade 1. And he's by Sprightstown. That's a good thing. Sire, the winner of the grade 2 four-star David Saratoga on August 9th and currently ranked 4th on the North American sire list. Munnings stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Watch for his yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. Well, Michael, talk to Michael Blowen here. How did the book signing go?
It went great. We're at the Hall of Fame. Brian Bouye, everybody, Mr. Dragone, everybody at the Hall of Fame was great. So we got a lot of people there. I don't know. We must have signed over 100 books, I think.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really nice. And the other really great thing is they had Arthur Hancock chaired a meeting at the Hall of Fame of what to do about the long-range plans for race day medications, and that was really interesting and very well attended. George Strawbridge got up and spoke. They had the guy was really interesting. They had the guy who investigated and nailed Lance Armstrong, and he gave all the details about how that case came about, and it was very, very interesting how they finally broke the code of silence around the bicycling team. Once they broke that, it was like a floodgate of people telling, yeah, we cheated. We cheated. We cheated. We cheated. We cheated.
That made it all even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost. But the tragedy is, and this is one thing that he pointed out that I thought was really interesting. He said that there were two cyclists that were nationally ranked that were really, really good that refused to take part in the drug program. And the guy that was running the team and the team doctor both insisted that he take the drugs. And he refused to do it and he quit. And there was another guy that quit too.
Really?
So one of the tragedies is these guys, it's a very short-lived, bicycling career when you're at your peak. And these two guys, because they wouldn't go along with the program, had to quit.
Yeah.
And that's really tragic.
You mean
they wanted to play by the rules.
They all cheated.
Yes. Almost all of them. Yeah. Yeah. It was
well, if they
the
all
program.
Cheated, they should have given him the money and the prizes and then start fresh.
I don't know what you're saying.
All cheated and Lance Armstrong still won, he was the best.
No, no. They all cheated on the American team.
Oh, the American team.
The Postal
cheated.
Service team.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, you don't know about the others.
Well, no, you don't, but let's not go crazy. I mean, the point is, of course, is that they cheated and they shouldn't have been doing it.
Right. Of course not.
No matter what anybody else was doing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing you're dealing with racing. Yeah. If they're all cheating, you get the guy wins the thing, but you want to get the few that are and make sure it's a cleaner game.
Well, I wouldn't call using Salix as cheating anyway.
Well, I'm not talking about Lasix. I'm talking about Cobra Venom. We're talking about.
Oh, well.
Yeah. We're talking. I mean, let's. You know. You know. If people are going to cheat, you know, you got to catch them. And this guy was very, very precise about how you did it. You know, and it was a very interesting presentation. I think Arthur did a great job bringing a lot of these people together. Gretchen Jackson, of course, of Smarty Jones fame. She's the new president of the Hall of Fame, and she was there. And there were a lot of other people there who I'm sure I didn't recognize, but were very important people.
I thought you meant that all the participants cheated.
No.
No.
Huh. No. No.
Interesting.
It was win at all costs, and it was a very interesting presentation. You know, more than you know, the soon whether or not, you know, you get into the Lasix issue or any of the other issues involved with race day medications, the sooner that the people that are handicapping these races and the people that are running in these races think that they're getting a fair shake and it's an even playing field, the better off everybody's going to be, including the horses, by the way.
Makes me miss
Doc. I mean, when I get up, you know, well, let's bring him up. I mean, he said, I said to him one day, I said, how come you're out, whenever you have to give a horse a shot, you go to the right side? And he said, you know, by the time you get these horses, they've been hit so many times with shots that their left carotid artery is gone. Well, that's a significant issue to their life expectancy, and they shouldn't be hit that many times.
Right. But a lot of times,
Dr. Byers,
it's before they get to the races.
Yeah, well that's, whatever it is, they're getting it a lot. And you can go down there and you watch them every day getting hit in that left, getting hit again, getting hit again, and getting hit again. And whether or not that's performance enhancing or whatever, I'm just saying the long term effects of getting that many shots in the same spot has corroded their arteries. Yeah. And it's a bad artery to get corroded.
Meanwhile, shaking it up won the Grade 1 Malibu, the Grade 2 Stroob, and the Grade 2 San Vicente for earnings of nearly $665,000. He is to stand his first season stud next year, and there are a few, very few, share the upside contracts still left. Call Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker at Spencer Farm and ask about it. Great deal, as those who participated in the programs of In the Mischiefs, the Warriors Rewards will testify. Warriors Reward, incidentally, sired another first crop winner on August 9 when Requite won a maiden special in his debut by 3.5 lengths at Saratoga. Did you see that, Micah? Warriors Reward has 7 winners, including...
Unbelievable. Yeah. Warriors Rewards, it's a great handicapping angle. First-time Warriors Rewards.
Yeah, and Super Savers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors Reward has 7 winners, including a stakes winner and 3 others to place in stakes already. And did you see the first-time starter by Temple City win a maiden special at Saratoga on August 7? Temple City is also a graduate of the Share the Upside program. Getting back to Shake It Up, he's the spitting image of his successful young sire, Midnight Loop. He's out of a Daughter of Champion Silver Bullet Day. So what's not to like? So give Dez a mark or call, 859-294-1130, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
They better lock in that stud fee as soon as they can, because I have a feeling I have a feeling over at Spendthrift they're going to be up in that stud fee.
Well, I would think so, too, and rightfully so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Dr. Alday, was he there? Did Steve come up?
He was there. I didn't run into him. He was busy, and so I didn't run into him. But I think he was there.
Okay.
He's zipping in, zipping out. Yeah. Got his lubricant. Got the reborn.
Yeah. Yep. Getting ready to do a commercial for those two fine products. I had my lubricant this morning again.
Me too.
Yeah. They make it both for humans.
I just put it on my frosted flakes.
Do you? Oh, I just take it right out of a spoon. Doesn't taste bad, dog.
No, not at all. No,
just a tablespoon a day.
Yep, and the grape.
Yeah. Grape. Yeah, it's real good. You can buy it over at Old Friends too.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, do you have both for the horses and the people? Or?
We just sell the one for the people.
One for the people.
The one that we get for the horses goes directly to the horses.
Okay. Well, you can buy either one of those products, Lubricin or Reborn. At KBC or Old Friends over in Versailles. Best thing to do is go to the website to learn about them. They'll go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com, reborn.com, reborne.com. Now, they're both, as I say, were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, and they've been endorsed by lots of owners and trainers and veterinarians, and both are all natural, test-free. You don't have to worry about it. And Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluid. That eliminates a lot of acid ingestions and so forth. And trainers that use it, Todd Plesher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker. I tell you, some of the horses that run, the filly that goes in the Alabama today, who is the favorite, Stop Charging Maria, who won the Coaching Club American Oaks, and Taylor the Cat filly, trained by Todd Pletcher, and she runs on both Reborn and Lubricin. Two wonderful products.
And they don't have to be injected.
No. There you go. And Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated, natural bovine colostrum. Well, it's safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. But what it does, it builds up the immune system, and it keeps your horse healthy. And if they catch something, it aids the recovery because they have a good immune system. So. To those, once again, here are the websites for Lubricin, LUBRISYN.com, and Reborn, REBORNE.com. So go to those websites and check them out. Well, the first foal is by Cowboy Cal, the 3-year-old this year, and he's the sire of 5 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners, including a Group 2 winner. More to come. Now his second crop 2-year-olds are emerging, and they turned loose a good one last Saturday when Bourbon Cowboy won a maiden special up at Arlington in impressive fashion. Cal, you may recall, even though he won stakes as a 2-year-old, excelled around 2 turns. Todd Pletcher trained him, and he described him as a genuine miler that carried his speed over a distance. In 3 seasons, 2, 3, and 4, he won a place in 13 stakes, 11 graded, 4 grade 1, and he earned over $1 million. Now, Cowboy Cal is by 3 times champion Sarah Giants Causeway. He's out of a daughter seeking a goal from a great female family, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud. Home also of Alternation, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic. And for more on the stallions over at Pin Oak, call Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. Here's the number, 859-873-1420. And see the website at pinoakstud.com. Cool. Michael, sounds like you had a great time up there.
I did, Ursula. It was really a lot of fun. It's great to be home, though. I missed everybody. And great to be home.
No place like home.
No place like home. We've got some great plans coming up for September, too, with Corey Johnson down at Kentucky Downs that I'll talk about next week. Yes.
Oh.
They're going to do a fundraiser for us down there. And
now, what's their meet dates?
I think they open us on Labor Day or the day after Labor Day.
Okay, but Labor Day is
like
River Downs.
First. Labor Day, we're going to have a fundraiser at River Downs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
At Belterra Park.
We have yet to have a chance to get up there, and I want to go.
That's really nice.
I guess that's about the last day.
I think it is.
Yeah. Oh, is
and
it
the
really?
Last?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when you're going down there, it's tough getting across that bridge. Get in there. Used to be.
No, I think it's still tough.
It's still River Downs to me.
We ran down there once on July the 4th or something like that. Remember, we took that little chestnut horse we had, whoosh, down there, and I didn't think we were going to get there in time for the race, to tell you the truth.
You know, people can make their little complaints about, you know, they shrunk the grandstand and all that, but the grandstand's still not filled. The inside's air-conditioned. But the best part to me is if you go on the backside now, you won't recognize it. All new barns.
Oh, that is nice.
All new dormitory. I mean, it is as spotless back there.
That's great.
It is absolutely beautiful.
Good.
So that seems to me an indication that they're very interested in maintaining their racing profile and improving their racing and all that. And the track itself seems... I don't know this for a fact, but I was watching the horses work out there the other day, and it seemed they were just gliding over. And it's big and wide. And
how's the turf track?
I don't know.
The best in the world.
Yeah, but in any case, I think they did a remarkable job. Yeah. We're looking forward to working with them.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. You know, including you get in free and you park for free. That's
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and the food's a lot better.
They still send those nice...
It's better?
Yeah.
I thought the food was great.
The food used to be good. Those brats you could get down there, my God, they were to die for.
Well, you probably would have. probably get your wish.
I lost a whole lot.
I've lived through many of them, believe me.
They have a burger place there now that has the best hamburger I've ever eaten in my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they have a ice cream place with really good ice. I mean, they have a buffet that's really, really well. It's not terribly expensive, but it's the best buffet I've ever seen.
Is that in the grandstand part or in the...
No, it's in the casino part. But it's all, you know, you just walk through the door and there it is. They have a very good simulcasting parlor, big screen TVs and nice place to sit and table service. You know, the
waiter comes to your table. Is the gambling part crowded?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, well, it's not crowded, but, you know, they get a lot of people in there. I mean, obviously, when you have a track like that with kind of racing that they have, you know, they're going to make some money off the simulcast, and people are playing a lot of the simulcast races.
Now, will the gambling part stay open when they close the track?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Will they let people stay there over the winter and use their stalls, or do they have to move?
I don't know what their policy is going to be. But I know that the backside really, really looks nice. And that's really important, because that's...
Yeah, yeah, people we know are up there. You know, and
right. They're winning a lot of races. They're shipping from here up there, and look at Ursula reads the list every week, and it's
right.
Yeah, I've got the list over there too. Yeah,
it was funny when Chauncey was here. I wanted to tell him that we got one of the greatest. I think she was Australian 2-year-old, maybe and 3-year-old champion filly at our farm.
Did you tell him?
Ben Marskay.
Huh? Did you get to tell him?
No.
Oh.
No. He's going to a barbecue. Hold them up, but Bit Marskay is our Australian one. And people come from Australia that tour the farm, they really get excited that Bit Marskay is there.
How'd you get that horse?
She came over from Vinery. When they sold the Vinery, she was there. And Francis over there called us and asked us.
Francis is still there, isn't he? Francis Trillian, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I noticed that they're racing still.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they've got horses there.
Bye, Holly.
Bye.
Our EMS is...
See you, Holly.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, we're safe for another week. I hope.
I might fall down the steps. Holly's
yeah, Holly, wait till we leave, will you, please? Make sure you get all clear.
EMS is leaving the ground.
See ya.
Holly's our medic.
Yeah, right. She's funny. You know, the other thing I have to say about Saratoga is everybody's asking about Dr. Byers. Everybody. It was really nice. It was great. Nice. It was really great that everybody
looked at UrsulaHorsetails.com. We got his picture up and the picture of you with, with him.
Nice. He's nice. Well, everybody is asking us, all the Coolmore guys. And,
yeah.
And they were all asking for him.
I tell you what, I must think about him 50 times a day.
Yeah. Closure is a myth. You know, let's get that straight right now. You can, closure is a myth. That does not work. Oh, yeah, closure. All of a sudden, it's just going to stop because, you know, forget about it. There's no such thing about it. It's a ridiculous notion. And, you know, you think about him every day. Of course you do.
Yeah.
And he's still ingrained in the texture of our lives. And we're really glad to still have that.
Stop it. You're going to get me tearing up.
All right. All right. Bet Adelaide in the Secretariat today. The big overlay. Won't be a great price, but they're shipping Adelaide over here.
Oh, okay.
From where?
Aiden O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, had one race.
Who's she by?
Belmont. Galileo.
Galileo. Who would you think?
Of course. Yeah.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, really. All right, Ursula. I'm going to go see if I can be getting any trouble both at the farm and at the simulcast today. Oh. Thank you for your racing form.
You're welcome, my friend.
Tell Diane hello.
I will. I'll tell her.
Okay.
I'll tell her, and we'll have to get together. We'll rendezvous with the rooster.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan. Yes. We can all get
behind. We'll have to find out when they're going to bring some food in.
Yeah, they're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
All we could do was drink there the other day.
That's too bad.
Isn't that sad?
The sacrifices some people have to make.
I'm not going to drink in one of those things, but I'm going to say, make it a little lighter.
Yeah, really? All right. Ursula, thanks for everything. Buddy.
All right. Talk to you later. Well, Molly Morgan, a 5-year-old mare by Go Zapper that won the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis Stakes at Churchill Downs on June 13, shipped in to take the Grade 3 Gardenia at Ellis Park last Saturday. That win boosted her earnings to more than $450,000. Finishing third in the Gardenia was Livy McKenzie, a 2014 stakes winner of over $352,000, and she's by Macho Uno, Go Zapper stablemate at Edina Springs. She was a game pace-setting third. Molly Morgan's Gardenia win follows by just 1 week the victory of Marino in the historic Grade 1 $1,500,000 Whitney at Saratoga. Marino is a 7th Grade 1 stakes winner by Go Zapper and his second this year. His other is Judy the Beauty, winner in April of the Grade 1 First Lady Stakes at Keenan over another daughter of Go Zapper, Better Lucky, winner July 21 of the $100,000 Shine Again Stakes at Saratoga. Go Zapper is the sire of 10 2014 stakes winners to date. A member of Racing's Hall of Fame, Go Zapper has gained the elite status of his sire. Awesome again. Stands at Edina Springs. For more on the stallions, call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
Broadcasting from the Buffalo Run Therapy Studio, Buffalo Run, specializing in sports medicine and physical therapy in the Beaumont Center.
This is WLXG to Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, Haynesville is a grade one winner by Spikestown. Sire Seek Again, winner August 9 of the grade two four-star David Saratoga and earlier the grade one Hollywood Derby. That was in his first start in this country. Spikestown is a son of Sire. Sire's gone west, and Haynesville is a worthy representative of that superb sire line. Haynesville won the grade one Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Blame, and that was Blame's only defeat during his Eclipse Award-winning year. Haynesville won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced. Won the distances from 6.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. Earned $1,319,481. Out of a stakes-winning mare from a family loaded with black type, Haynesville has the whole package. He was a superior runner from a great sire line and a solid female family, and he is siring superb individuals. His weanlings averaged 8 times his stud fee in 2013, posting the highest profitability rate of any freshman stallion, and his yearlings have averaged $91,000 with a medium of $98,000 in 2014. Then yesterday at Del Mar, the Sandy Blue Stakes was won by Istan Ford, a three-year-old filly by Istan, and Istan and Haynesville both stand at Mr. and Mrs. Burrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Okay, I'm going to do my announcements.
All right, do your
That'll
announcements.
That'll be great. Okay, the TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, is going to honor the achievement of their breeders and owners at the 29th Annual National Awards Dinner, Friday, September 5th, 6:30 p.m. at the Lexington Convention Center. That's downtown. Isn't that the one they used to have on a farm? Yeah, they used to have it at Vinery or someplace. Anyway, I can't remember. Cocktail attire. No jeans.
Oh.
Oh, anyway, tickets available at toba.org, 276-2291. And that's coming up quicker than you think. It's in the middle of August. No, he got his form.
What's
this? That's last week. She tried to palm off last Monday's racing form on him, and he was a little too slick. Today, what's today's date?
16th.
Next, I've got it in here. Don't move. Don't anybody move. 16th is. Huh, it's not that one either. Well, there's a horse show out there today. I mean it at the horse park. Woohoo! Next week, however, Wednesday, the 20th through the 24th, Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association show. 4-day Hunter Jumper show. It's part of the Kentucky Horse Show 2014 series. A lot of local, a lot of out-of-state riders. It's a good one. Also, they're having something Friday the 22nd through Sunday the 24th called the Ultimate Outdoor Expo. 3-day event showcasing outdoor sports. Like hunting supplies, fishing tackle, ATVs, guns. Woo, there you go. It's going to be fun. Seminars and live demonstrations at the expo. That's pretty much fun. Thursday, August 28th through Monday is September 1st. That would be Labor Day, I reckon. Classic, Bluegrass Classic Dog Show. 5-day dog show, Lexington Kennel Club, Northern Kentucky Kennel Club, and the Mid Kentucky Kennel Club. That's nice. You want to go out and look at some pretty dogs. Friday, August 29th through Sunday is the Kentucky Classic Horse Trials. That's the 3-day event stuff. A lot of fun. It's a 3-day event, United States Eventing Association sanctioned event. All levels will be competing in dressage, cross country, and show jumping. Let's see. I already said that one. Oh, August 20th is the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club Sporting Clay Classic. It will be at Bluegrass Sportsman's League, just a few miles south of Lexington. Anyway, go to Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, ktfmc.org, for more information.
All right. Whoops. I'm off the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Masterson Park Workday, also sponsored by Macaulay's Feeds, we want to mention that, is Sunday, September 21st. And that means that you go out and volunteer and just help them clean up the place. It's great.
All right. Well, the first crop yearlings by Trap Shot, offered at the Saratoga sale, sold for $400,000, $300,000, $170,000, $120,000. And a few days later, two were sold at the preferred sale in New York Breads, and they went for $160,000 and $140,000. So far this year, been eight first crop yearlings by Trap Shot, offered, all eight sold. All eight brought $100,000 or more, and they averaged $194,375. Easy to see why. Trap Shot's a grand-looking horse, and he's iron grand-looking individuals. They look and act like runners. So take a good look at the Trap Shot yearlings at the upcoming sales, and you'll see what we mean. Of course, it doesn't hurt. The Trap Shot is a high-class graded stakes winner by Tappet, the number one sire of this country this year, and the son of the famed Claiborne Farm stallion Puppet. All that is damn, the hard-hitting race mare Shopping by Private Account, produced four stakes winners, including Trap Shot, Miss Shop, a grade one stakes winner of over $1,126,000, and Shop Again, damn, a grade one stakes winner, Power Broker. Trap Shot, a grade two stakes winner and a grade one placed earner of over $700,000, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website, claibornefarm.com. All right, you want to buy a lovely place. Go out Russell Cave Road. Go to 571 Russell Cave Road. It's a restored 1803 federal home in Bourbon County. And I tell you what, it is drop-dead gorgeous. It's four bedrooms and three baths, 4,793 square feet. It's got five paddocks, open fields. It's got two barns, 14 stalls. There's a swimming pool. I tell you what, it's gorgeous. Go to the website. Go to LexHorseFarms.com and look that over. LexHorseFarms.com. And that's Hill and Reagan Parker's website. Beautiful place. They've got, also while you're out there, there's a nice 75-acre farm over on Hawkins Cummins Road. That's just not, as a crow flies, I bet it's not 2 or 3 miles from there. But anyway, just off of 460 on Hawkins Cummins, you can't go wrong. Very modestly priced for that size place. They've got wonderful websites, and they're great people to do business with, Hill and Reagan Parker. They've been in the real estate business for over 12 years now, and they're horsemen, and they understand the horse business and what people are looking for. And if you're looking to buy a place, you know, and they've got an outstanding listings, always have a great listings. And, well, Bourbon County and Jessamine County and Woodford, Scott, Clark, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and at all prices. And they can help you find just the perfect farm for you. And if you're going to list your place, well, they'll work real hard for you and get the job done. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, LexHorseFarms.com. And here's a phone number. It's a 859 number, 608-8039. 608-8039. Well, Sprightstown's 2014 stud fee was $80,000, second on the 2013 sire list. He currently ranks fourth on the 2014 sire list, and he sired another major stakes winner just like Saturday when Seek Again, a grade one winner in his first start in this country, won the grade two four-star David Saratoga. Country Day is a multiple stakes winning son of Sprightstown, and he stands at Crestwood Farm with $3,500 due when the foal stands and nurses. Can't hardly find a horse of this quality for that price anymore. Not only that, Country Day's Dam is graded stakes winner hidden assets, one of 77 stakes winners by Mount Livermore. And she's from the female family that's already given us such top sires as Aladar and Grand Slam. Country Day earned over $500,000. He stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. First foals arrived this year, and they are superb. You're welcome to inspect Country Day and the Crestwood stallions. And while they ask about the many services available at Crestwood Farm, just give them a call, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, you're going to take a break, and I'll come back and I'll do the KTA.
Yes.
Take care of my Chauncey. Chauncey was a great guest. We'll have to get him back. For the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, we always announce the Kentucky Breds that won stakes over the previous weekend. And the grade two four-star Dave at Saratoga, and we've been talking about this horse all during the show. Seek Again. Boy, what a game performance he ran. He's a Spitestown bred and owned by Judmont Farm. Hope they retire him to stud out there, because I'm going to be writing about him. But, you know, he didn't get loose until inside stalked early pace, and didn't get loose until, God, about the 16th pole. Just came right, squeezed through on the rail and won by neck. And ran the distance of 133-1, which was a new track record. So that was impressive. Let's see, the John C. Maybe, the grade two stakes over Del Mar over the weekend. Moulin de Mougin won that, bred by Ran Jan Racing. It's a curling. The grade two Adirondack, Cavorting won that, bred by Swettenham Stud. The Saratoga Special grade two, I Spin It. He's from the first crop by Super Saver, who's on a roll. Bred by Dixiana Farms, my old home place, Dixiana Farms, and keep going to Super Staver. They're going to put you on the map over there. The Mammoth Oaks, the grade three Mammoth Oaks was won by Cassati. Cassat. That was bred by Mount Brilliant Farm over on Huffman Mill Road. The Gardenia Stakes, grade three at Ellis Park, went to Molly Morgan. Molly Morgan is a Ghost Zapper filly, bred by Mike Lauffer and Bill Cubbage and Greg McDonald. And, of course, the Ghost Zapper stands over at Adena Springs. The 10 Ski Stakes at Saratoga, Miss Frost won that, bred by Robert Lale. I don't know where Mr. Lale is from. Used to be some Lales down around Cynthiana, but I'm not sure that's the same family. The Fort Mama Stakes went to an Eddington mare, bred by G.L. Zwirling. The Jess Jackson Owner's Handicap at Santa Rosa, Gallant Sun won that, bred by Tony Holmes and Highclere. The Aspen Cup Stakes at Rio Doso was won by Belle of the Beach. Belle of the Beach, bred by Calvin Crane. If I can pick these things up here, they're all sticking together. The Prairie Meadows Juvenile Mile winner was Private Prospect, bred by the Randall Family Trust. That's David and Marilyn Randall. The Washington Oaks out in Seattle went to Lady 52, 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Kodiak Cowboy. He stands over at Windstar Farm. This one bred by the Cloverleaf Farms in Kentucky. And then on Wednesday, the Troy Stakes at Saratoga, winner Spring to the Sky, was bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership. Well, Mizzen Mass is the sire of Grade 1 winners. The most recent is Literus, a Grade 1 winner in South America earlier this year, now in training in California. He was preceded by Flotilla, the co-champion 2-year-old filly of our year in France, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Won last year's classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas. She earned over $1 million, and she's placed in two more stakes this year, group stakes. He's the sire also of Ms. Direction, one of 9 stakes, 2-time winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and of over $1,719,000, Mass Track by Ms. and Mass. Won the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup and nearly $1 million. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and over $5,488,000. Midships won the Grade 1 Charles Whittingham Memorial and over $528,000. Now, the most recent stakes winner by Mizzen Mass is Philimby, listed stakes winner in France and winner August 2 of the $100,000 De La Rose Stakes at Saratoga. Never out of the money in 10 starches, won 5 times. Philimby has earned over $221,000 now, and her impressive De La Rose win, that gives every indication of greater things to come from her. The bottom line is, take a good look at the Mizzen Mass yearlings at the upcoming sales, simply because he sires runners. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries at Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, Cavorting, winner of the Grade 2 Adirondack Stakes at Saratoga, was bred by Swettenham Stud and raised on products from McCauley Brothers at Coolmore's Creekview Farm over in Paris. Of course, that's Ashford Stud also, those same management. The Grade 3 Gardenia Stakes at Ellis Park went to Molly Morgan. A Go Zappa mare raised on Macaulay products at Mary and Cindy Takis' Belvedere Farm for breeders Mike Lauffer, Bill Covage, and Greg McDonald. Dame Dorothy, winner of the Malvern Rose Stakes at Presque Isle, was raised on Macaulay products at Dairy Meeting Farm in Pennsylvania. And at Santa Rosa in Northern California, the Jess Jackson Owner Stakes winner, Gallant Son, was raised on Macaulay products by Tony Holmes and Highclere. Then on Wednesday, Saratoga's $100,000 Tyro Stakes was won by Spring in the Sky, bred by Phillips Racing Partnership, and raised on Macaulay products, of course, and raised at Darby Dan Farm. Congratulations to all. Horses raised on Macaulay products have won 120 stakes this year, 68 graded stakes, 13 grade one. Give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call, 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the Macaulay products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at MacaulayBrews.com, and you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, the Daily Racing Form Sunday edition is out. It's on the newsstands as we speak. John Sparkman has got his column. He also writes a Friday column with regularity, too, but and a Sunday column. And he's writing about Judmont Farm, Seek Again. Mike Hergley has got a column in there, article, writing about the Jockey Club's attempt to build support for the U.S. anti-drug agencies to oversee the sports drugs programs for racing. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then, golly gee, they've got nine sets of past performances in the racing form. Saratoga, Monmouth Park, Gulfstream Park, Ellis Park, Belterra, Indiana Downs, Thistle Downs, Arlington Park, Woodbine, Canterbury. I tell you what, that's nine sets of past performances. That's worth the money right there, I tell you. Daily Racing Form, of course, go to drf.com/breeding today, and you can check out the breeding edition of the Daily Racing Form. Then they have specials every day during the week. So, wonderful, wonderful publication. All righty. Jackie's not back yet, so we will proceed. Want to try? Have we got Steve Moody available yet?
Hello? Yeah, we're getting.
Okay, you want to wait till this right here?
Yeah.
Are you okay? All righty. All right. We will get Steve Moody on. Well, the big ones today, of course, up at Arlington, it's the Arlington Million, driving a field of seven, pretty much from all over. Let's see, we got an Irish bred. Let's see, Hardest Course, Smoking Sun, Magician, the big horse, the Galileo, Aiden O'Brien. Bringing over Finnegan's Wake, Up with the Birds, Real Solution, and Side Glance, and also running the Beverly D up there today. Emollient goes in that. It's a grade one stakes, of course, for fillies and mares. Three and up going a mile and a 16th on 3/16 on the grass. The Alabama grade one is the feature at Saratoga today. It's drawn a field of nine. The favorite in there, I'm sure, will probably be Stop Charging Maria, that tail of the cat filly, Todd Pletcher trains. The grade one Secretariat winner, grade one Secretariat, a field of nine going in there. The Del Mar Oaks, also grade one, and it has a feeling of 10 going there. Okay, we'll do a set of commercials here and then get Steve Moody on because we're about to run out of time. How is that? I'll hang on to this. Albertus Maximus is a multiple grade one winner of $1,328,230. Superior runner by any measure. Taking the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the grade one Don Handicap at Gulfstream. Also set a new track record at Del Mar the day he won the Windy Sands. And he captured two top allowance tests at Hollywood Park. Broke his maiden at Santa Anita. Placing three more graded stakes, including grade one Goodwood. Albertus Maximus is one of three millionaires and six grade one stakes winners by his side. Most recent, Moonshine Mullen, winner of the 2014 renewal of the grade one Stephen Foster at Churchill. His dam, Chase the Wild Wind, is a half-sister to a champion. Out of the grade one winner, Race the Wild Wind. It's a superb female family. The first foals by Albertus Maximus are yearlings. Now, you're going to see him at the upcoming sales And for more on the stallions at Shadwell Farm, get in touch with stallion manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Why Unlimiteds and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, August 9 at Saratoga, the Grade 2 $200,000 four-star Dave Handicap was won by Seek Again, a four-year-old colt by Sprightstown. Seek Again had an eventful trip, blocked twice. He finally squeezed through on the rail to prevail. To quote the official chart of the race, while clearly best, set a new course record, 133-1 for the mile. A listed stakes winner in Great Britain, Seek Again has started four times in the USA. In the first of the four, he won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby in his last start as a three-year-old. And 5 months later, he was ahead bobbing second to Horse of the Year Wise Dan in the Grade 1 Turf Classic at Churchill, followed by third in the Mile and a Quarter Manhattan. The four-star Dave victory increased his earnings to $725,258. Sprightstown, second on the 2013 general sire list, currently ranks fourth on the sire list with earnings of over $5,714,000. Watch for the yearlings by Eclipse Award winner Sprightstown at the upcoming sales. And for more information on the stallions of Windstar Farm, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson. The number over there is 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I have Steve Moody, author of the Saratoga sheet. And you can buy this sheet on the day at wherever you find a daily racing form. I'll get it out in a minute, Steve. And of course, it's a simulcast. And best thing to do is go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. Big day of racing, Steve.
Yeah, between the at the Alabama at Saratoga today, and of course, Arlington Million in Chicago, and tomorrow, the Sword Dancer back at Saratoga, so should be a good weekend.
Yes, it should. Well, let's make it a good one and give us a winner some of these races.
All right. The tenth at Saratoga today is the Alabama, 134th running of the Grade 1, mile and a quarter for 3-year-old fillies. And have a field of nine. Was drawn here. It's fast and firm at Saratoga, and there are no scratches right now. And I thought the top contenders were very close here. The favorite, I think it's kind of difficult to look past Stop Charging Maria. She's a multiple graded stakes winner, already over $1 million in earnings. Very impressive winner in the Coaching Club American Oaks in her last start. Didn't give any indication that she would have a problem with the extra furlong today. And I think she's the one to beat. If you were looking to beat her, I give the Claiborne filly a chance in here, the nine horse size, a First Samurai filly that continues to improve for Bill Mott. She's been off for about seven weeks, but is working well for her return today. I think she's got a big chance in here. She's pretty lightly raced and still has room to improve. The one horse, Unbridled Forever, ran pretty well in the CCA Oaks. Couldn't stay with Stop Charging Maria, but gave a good account of herself in there. She'll have the rail today, so she'll get to save all the ground. She's got some early speed if she wants to use it. She could be up close if she wants to be, and then try to hold off the late runners. Looks like those three were going to be the ones that to beat in there. Stop Charging Maria loves the Saratoga Oval. She looks to be on top of her game. I'm going to give her the slight edge over size, and then the Dallas Stewart's horse, Unbridled Forever, 8-9-1 in the Alabama.
Oh, and there's one other stake, isn't there? Have you looked at that, the Lake Placid?
Yeah, that is the, let's see, that is...
Shouldn't have asked you there and rattling those papers.
Well, if I can find it.
Well, in the meantime, are you ready for the ball game this afternoon at 1 o'clock?
Well, I was just telling Rusty when I came downstairs and turned on my TV, my cable box was saying not authorized for every channel except for those channels down there around, you know, the two-digit channels. So I don't know if something happened last night, I guess. I'm going to have to call the cable company and find out.
Is that the cable now? Because I've got Dish.
Yeah.
Comes on 408 on Dish.
Yeah.
Well, they've looked good, haven't they?
They have.
I thought this last game they didn't have the intensity. They're probably getting worn out, you know, playing
in there. Yeah. Either that, or maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they didn't want to run it up against their old, you know, against their old coach. I don't know, but I thought the other team, unlike the first ones that they played, you know, they really battled. They didn't pack it in like the Puerto Ricans and the French team.
Well, they just packed those teams just packed it in when they got down by 20.
Yeah,
you know, I mean it's. But I tell you, it's going to be a scary good season, I think.
Yeah, let's see, or so I found it now. I knew it was early in the day. I didn't realize it was the third. I kept looking for the around the fifth. It is the third race today, Lake Placid, 1 1/8 on the turf. This one also for three-year-old fillies. Field of six going in here. Minaret. Was a big winner in the Belmont Oaks last time when shipping to the United States. She followed that race up with several bullet works for Chad Brown. I think she looks pretty well spotted in here today. The four horse excellence. Of course, was beaten by the top horse last time, but she does. She will be adding Lasix today for the first time, so that could maybe change things. Of course, she's also trained by Chad Brown, and then the five horse Crown Queen. She was the easy winner when she made her return to Saratoga, and if she moves forward off of that race, I think you've got to give her a chance as well. I just like the way that Minaret worked coming out of that Belmont Oaks win. And just it looks like she's none the worse for wear whatsoever. And she looks like she's got a pretty good chance to repeat. So I'm going to give Chad Brown, I think he's got a good shot to get the top two spots in here, Minaret and Excellence. 6-4-5 in the Lake Placid.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much. I hope you're square away with your cable company there.
Yeah.
But
turn it back on.
You can go to a bar somewhere and get it, I'm sure. Okay. All right, Steve. It's been Steve Moody, who's the author of that Saratoga handicapper sheet, which is going to revert back to Kentucky before too much longer. When do you go back, Steve?
Well, we've got
got to get through the Travers.
We've got 2 weeks and 2 weeks, and then a couple of days left to go at Saratoga.
Yeah,
and they wrap it up on Labor Day, and I think Churchill opens on Friday. The Friday after Labor Day.
Okay. Well, you can get that the Saratoga handicapper sheet by going to brisnet.com or check where you buy your racing form. So, okay, Steve, thanks so much.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Well, let's see. We want to talk a little bit. We were talking about the Alabama. I want to talk a little bit about the Alabama Stakes. Jackie, you got a few more things over there you want? A couple? Well, let me get this in, and I'll turn it over to you, okay? But now that I'm talking. What?
20 minutes.
What?
20 seconds.
Oh, okay. The Alabama Stakes was first run in, what, 1872, and a filly named Woodbine won it. They didn't run it in 1893 to 1896, and then they missed a couple of years, the last 2 years of the century. They didn't run it in 1910, 1911. That's when the racing was canceled in New York. And the distance has varied through the years, different days, different races, but, it's been a mile and a quarter since 1916, and it's a mile and a quarter today. So anyway, but Woodbine was, foal of 1872. No, that's not right. She was a 3-year-old. She was a foal of, 1869. And she was the first high-class filly bred by August Belmont Sr. She also won the Monmouth Oaks and that year and was the best 3-year-old filly of that year. One of my favorite group winners was Merciless, and won in 1876, and she was out of mare named Barbarity, and she was a member of what they call the Barber's Battalion, of bunch of fillies that were bred by Francis Morris from Westchester, New York, named Merciless, Ruthless, Remorseless, and Relentless. And Ruthless was probably the greatest filly of the 1860s, won the Belmont Stakes. She was a good producer, too. She was a damn of a good stakes winner named Battle Axe. And they had it turned out as a broodmare out there, and some hunter shot her, thought she was a deer, and killed her.
Oh.
Anyway, so that was the end of Ruthless. Remorseless was a champion 2-year-old filly, 1869. Relentless won stakes also. So it was the Barbarous Battalion, Merciless, Ruthless, Remorseless, and Relentless. I love it. I love it. Now let's see what else. If we've got a couple of winners here that might be worthwhile talking. Of course, Beldame, one of the all-time greats, won the 1904. Alabama Stakes. She was by Octagon, out of a mare by Hermit, and Walter Vosburgh ranked her as with the best fillies and mares in history at the time. And this was, of course, back in 1904. And one of those was Ruthless, who we just talked about, and Yorkville Belle, Miss Woodford, and you know, it was Beldame was bred by August Belmont the second. The son of the breeder the winner of the first one, Woodbine. And she was, Beldame was ranked 98th on the list of the top 100 runners of the 20th century, published by the Blood Horse a few years ago. Love that book. And the only 20 distaffers were included in that list. She won 17 of her 31 starts and, just repeatedly ran against the best horses in training of both sexes, as far as that goes. Masquette won a winner of the 1909. She got a stakes named after her. She won 5 of 6 starts as a 2-year-old, beat colts in the futurity, also won a spinaway. Let's see, a Flying Fairy won it in 1913, and some other top ones down through the years. Cleopatra, bred by the Hancock family. Top Flight, who was bred by the race with C.V. Whitney, but was bred by his father. Salominium, Vagrancy, Busanda. Of course, Busanda went on to produce the Buck Passer. Here and There won it for King Ranch and then perished that very night in a fire at Saratoga. Primonella, daughter of Chateauguay, was a champion and won it. Shuvie, the great Shuvie, the best thing in Nashville ever sired by many, many lengths. Go for one. So it's been one, you know, by some really top horses down through the years. Well, Shaking It Up won the Grade 1 Malibu and the Grade 2 Stroob and the Grade 2 San Vicente for earnings of nearly $665,000. Going to stand his first season stud next year, and there are a very few share the upside contracts available to Shaking It Up. Call Des Dempsey or Mark Tuthak over at Dispensary Farm and ask him about it. Great deal. As those who participated in the program of In the Mischief, a Warrior's Reward will testify. Now, Warrior's Reward, incidentally, is out another first crop win on August 9 when Requite won a maiden special in his first start, won by 3.5 lengths to Saratoga. Warrior's Reward is 7 winners, including a stakes winner and 3 others that have placed in stakes in his first crop. And did you see the first time start up at Temple City win a maiden special at Saratoga on August 7th? Temple City is also a graduate of the Share of the Upside program. Getting back to Shaking It Up, he is a spitting image of his successful young sire, Midnight Luke. He's out of a Daughter of Champion Silver Bullet Day. So what's not to like? Give Diz or Mark a call at 859-294-1130 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie, you got something that you want to...
I have a few more.
I've got one. Let me make an announcement.
Oh, okay. Ta-ta, ta-ta.
Well, let me find the damn thing. Here we go.
Careful. It's children.
Is this a family show?
I think.
I wouldn't think so. Verrazano has been retired from racing, and... He raced, of course, in this country and abroad for Mrs. John Magnier, Michael Tabor, and Derek Smith, and Verrazano's by More Than Ready. I've had Enchanted Rock by Giants Causeway. Of course, he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and the Grade 1 William Hill Haskell Invitational in the Stakes, and he's going to stand first season stud next year right in Kentucky over at Ashford Stud. He pulled up lame in the Eclipse Stakes, a Grade 1 Stakes on July the 5th, and although it wasn't a big-time injury, there was no time to get him ready for the Breeders' Cup, though they decided just to retire and going to bring him on home. He was a $250,000 Keeneland September sales yearling, and they raced in this country for Let's Go Stable, and Todd Pletcher had him, and he hit the board in this year's Grade 1 Lockwood Stakes and Grade 1 Queen Anne Stakes over there while making his first two starts on the grass over in Europe under Mr. O'Brien's care. He also won the Pegasus Stakes. That's Grade 3 in Monmouth Park over here. In 13 starts, he had 6 wins, second and two-thirds, and earned $1,877,683. So he was a high-class racehorse, and he is going to be retired to stud, so we'll be hearing more about him from the folks over at Ashford Stud here very soon. High-class runner. Be a good addition to their staying ranks over there. Okay, Jackie.
Okay, tomorrow at the Sportsmanship Cup Sunday is polo. Tomorrow at Man of War Field Finals, 2 o'clock, Augustus Hill versus Gainesway Polo. 3:15, Lexington Polo, and so on. We'll play a round-robin match for the final, I guess. Anyway, they get the trophy out at 4:30, so that's kind of fun. Let's see. Oh, this is a big one. Save the date. First Lady Jane Brashear's 4th Annual Horses and Hope Trail Ride, Sunday, September 14th, at the Horse Park. And I think... like a week before, you get to go out and ride the horse park anyway. So if you want to school and then show up for that, horsesandhope.org. Lake Side Arena's open, but next weekend, Central Kentucky Reining Horse Association is having their reining show. If you're interested and want to know more about this, call our buddy Alan Krupper at 983-2878.
Our neighbor, Alan.
Summerbird Dressage Schooling's too going on. This is Masterson on any Wednesday. Show up at 4:30, ride any test for $10. You get judged, take your test home, just a lot of fun, 4:30 until dark, and then they quit sometime in the fall. Kentucky National Horse Show, September 17th through the 21st at the Horse Park. 2 National Grand Level Grand Prix, Hagyard Equine Medical Institute, the Betsy. Show Jumping Hall of Fame in the Midwest, NHS, ASPCA, McClay Regional Equitation Championships. There they will come back for the big national show somewhere around Thanksgiving or Christmas. I don't know, but there's a lot of money in this one. So need to do that today, which I missed before. Bluegrass Festival Horse Show is at the Covered Arena, the Jumper Complex, the Walnut Ring, and Rolex Stadium, and that goes on today and tomorrow. That's it.
That's it for you. I got a little item I picked up reading the other day. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Archjockey of Canterbury, and other tales and the excerpts from Ken Hollingsworth's column from when he was editor of the Blood Horse.
Yeah.
And he always has some interesting little items in there, funny things.
Yeah, that's fun.
And this is one of them. It's called Bragging Rights. And this was published, the book was published in 1986, by the way, but this is kind of a cute little item. It says, Jorge Velasquez, an 18-year-old Panamanian, won the first six races he rode at Garden State Park Wednesday. Then finished third in his last race of the day, an event won by Johnny Sellers. This puts Sellers in much the same position as jockey W.J. O'Brien, who won the first race at Old Harbor de Grace on September 17, 1919. Earl Sandy won the second race on El Mahdi, an 8-1 shot. He won the third race on Wodan at 7-2, the fourth on African Era at 2-1, the Bokeh Handicap on Milkmaid at 1-2, the sixth on Sunny Hill at 3-2, and the last race on Bathilde at 2-1. At the end of the day, O'Brien walked into the jock's room, took off his silks, and matter-of-factly announced, me and Sandy, we win all them races today.
That's fun.
Anything to promote yourself there. All righty, let's see. We had a pretty good week from the Thoroughbred Center here at the out here on the Paris Pike. Trainers saddled a bunch of winners, 12 since last week's show. We started out a little bit slow the first 4 or 5 days of the month. I was starting to get a little worried. I think we had 3 winners in the first 4 days of racing of this month. Then all of a sudden, bang, here they started to come. And the winners since last week's show were saddled by Tommy Short at Mountaineer, Howard Rice at Mountaineer, John Rivacaba at Belterra, Adolfo Marcias at Belterra, Juan Rivacaba had another one at Belterra. He had two that same day. That was on August the 10th. And Floyd Cobb had one that day. See, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 races on the 10th. And Brian Michael saddled one down at Mountaineer. Floyd Cobb's was down at Ellis Park, by the way. Tommy Short had another winner, this one at Mountaineer. Stacy Slovis, that's Dr. Nathan Slovis's wife, and they live real close to us. At they've got a farm at on Greenwich, almost to 460.
They're on Elizabeth Station.
Well, Elizabeth Station.
Yeah, it's called that for a couple of maybe a mile or half mile, and then it changes. And,
well, anyway, it's right off 460 there. It's they can call it what they want to. It's still Greenwich Road.
No, it's not.
Anyway, Stacy saddled the winner up at Presque Isle. And then Donald Hunt saddled a winner at Indiana Downs. And Matt Frazier saddled a quarter horse to win up at Indiana Downs. Matt had a little bad luck, came off a horse out here day before yesterday, I believe it was, and broke his wrist. So he had surgery yesterday, I think it was. That was the same day he won, I think on the 10th. I think it was the same day that he won the race. I don't know, but anyway. And then last night at Indiana Downs, Tim Shorter took Bess's Bullet up to Indiana Downs and won up there. We will be on at the same time next week. I'm pretty sure. When's the first football game, Rusty? Do you know? It's not in August.
Saturdays from now?
Is it for 2 Saturdays? Probably 2 Saturdays. When we go to the football game, we'll be on from 9 till 11 because of a pregame show, but otherwise we're going to be at the same old time from 10 until noon. So if there's a football game, turn in an hour earlier if there's a noon football game kickoff. Thank you, Mary Jane. I'm going to come by and get that free drink one of these days. And thank you, Ressy. And thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Just sing.
the song and bring the sermon.